thankful. We've seen some join. We've seen people get right with the Lord. So I'm very thankful for what we have seen. The Lord's worked, and I appreciate that. I've had to do a lot of extra working that I'm not used to while I've been up there, but it's forced me to study more and pray more and stay on my knees more. So I'm very thankful for that. If you got your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. I want to try to give you what the Lord's given us, and hopefully it will be a help to you if you'll listen. If you'll heed to the Word of God and apply it to your life, it will help us. And I promise you, if you have never dealt with this, you will. But I seriously doubt there's anybody in this auditorium that's never dealt with these situations that the Lord's dealing with. Matthew chapter 5, you know that he, for two chapters, he does the Sermon on the Mount. He preaches to multitudes at this time in his ministry. And he gets down, and I want to read verse 38. Verse 38 through 41, he will stay in verse 38 through 41 and give you what the Lord's given us. And I pray, like I said, the Lord to help us. He'll give us liberty. I appreciate being here. I appreciate all you, everything you've done for us. I just cannot repay you enough for what you've done and you being a blessing to us. And I hope and pray that we have you, and we'll continue. We pray as we've been gone. We prayed for y'all, and I was checking up at all times, calling Brother Jeff. He'd call me, how you doing? How's your service going? How's your service going? And so we've kind of kept in touch, and I'm very thankful for my pastor. He's been a help to me, and I've used a lot of you in sermons, by the way. Amen. And not in a bad way, but you've been such a blessing. I've been able to use a lot of you as examples and things that you've helped me in, and so I'm very grateful for that. If you got your Bibles, Matthew chapter 5, number 38, the Bible says this: "Ye have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. If any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain." If you would pray with us. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we bow, as humbly as we know how, God, I surely thank you for allowing us to be here this morning. I just want to say I'm grateful that you allowed us to be in your house. I'm very thankful for these dear people that's been such a blessing to us in our life. And I pray you'd just help us this morning to get out of the way, Lord. I pray, God, that we had decreased without an increase. I pray you'd fill us with the Holy Ghost of God, Lord. And I pray that the message would go out and find a lodging place in people's mind and heart, Lord. And I pray that you remember those in our auditorium, Lord, that may have never been saved. They don't know what it is to be born again, Lord. They don't know what it is to feel the free pardon of sin and the liberation and the freedom you've given us when you saved our soul. And Lord, I pray that you would just guide and direct our lives. Help us all to be soul winners, Lord. In Jesus' name we do humbly pray. Amen and amen. Now, you know the scripture very well, you that read your Bible. But the Bible starts out in verse number 38, and it said, "Ye have heard." In other words, he's bringing a statement that everybody knew. He was on level ground. He began to explain some things about the old law. And remember, you know how the law was set up, and Jesus came not to destroy it, but the Bible said to fulfill it. And so Jesus in his ministry begins here to explain some things about it. He is addressing retaliation. He's addressing some things here that we need to deal with. And as a Christian, there's three examples here that he gives on some things about the retaliation and how that God has given us power to overcome the world. And what I want to preach on by the help of the Lord is taking back your God-given power. Whether you know it or not, God has given you a power. And I don't know if you realized it or not, but when you got saved, God gave you a great power of which no unsaved person can experience. So I want to address those very quickly. The Bible said in verse 38, "You have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth." Now, this was a law given in Exodus. Now, this was something no doubt God had set up for a reason. But what had happened in this society of time, if you study history, is it had become more than just a law. It become more than just a judicial thing to go by, but it created some side of equality. In other words, a tat for a tat, I guess you'd say. In other words, the people got to the point that it went beyond just a judgment law, but it got to the point that everything had to be equal. Now you say, I thought that was a good thing. Not always. It got to the point that if something went done just right, it wasn't fair. All of a sudden, say somebody gave you a gift, we feel like we have to give them something of equal value. That's not a teaching of God, by the way. It's a teaching that we give no matter what we get back. And so what had happened in the society of the ancient world is that it got to a point that everything had to be equal. If you did this to me, I did this to you. It was not actually, they were not going by what God intended the law for. The only reason he set this law is to try to stop down on violence and bloodshed. But when we get to Jesus, Jesus wants us to understand that there's something more to this law than what we see. He wants to bring out the spiritual aspect. He wants to let us see that there's a deeper meaning in this law. And so notice what he said, but I say to you that you resist not evil. Now, some of you would say, well, I thought I was supposed to oppose evil. You are. But you got to look at the context of the scripture. In the Greek terminology, this means this. It means not to stand or oppose evil with evil. That's what it's referring to. When you use the word resist, it's more than oppose. It means to not resist with evil. In other words, the Bible said, don't do somebody wrong because they did you wrong. Now, I know that's what we want to do, amen. I know when we get angry, we feel like I'm going to get back at them. That's not a Christian, by the way. That's not even a saved person, by the way. That is somebody that's living worldly. That's not what the Bible teaches. Notice what the Bible said. But whosoever, here's the first example. Whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn him the other also. Now I know it's going to get quiet. Because I work with a bunch of people that they say, well, if somebody hit me, man, it's going to be on. Amen. Everybody I talk to, well, if they put their hands on me, I don't know if I'll be able to take it. Number one, you need to understand what the scripture's even talking about. It's not referring to a physical thing. Now, wait a minute. You'll say, Troy, it said if thy brother smites you on the right cheek. Well, let me ask you this. Why did it say the right cheek? Why not the left? Why didn't it say if he smacked your cheek? Why didn't it say that? I'll tell you why. Because in the ancient world or in the Old Testament times, it was a very, this type of offense was very insulting. It wasn't the physical aspect. It was not that somebody put their hands on you, but it was more as though if I were to spit in somebody's face. It was an insult. It wasn't the physical side of it. So what Jesus, if you take in the time it was written, he is referring to an ancient time that it was a very insult if you were to slap somebody on the right cheek. Now, I'm not going to go into all details why it was your right hand. And while that was more the thing, I'm not going into that. But I will say this, it was the most grievous insult that you could give a human being. And so Jesus is not dealing with the intent of physically hurting somebody, because the Bible said he that will not provide for his own is worse than an infidel. So that's not what Christ is teaching. Christ is not teaching let people abuse your family, let people hurt you. That's not what he's teaching. What he's teaching is if somebody insults you, he's given us power to overcome that. Now, the Bible tells us in Galatians, he gives us the fruit of the Spirit. And there's several going to be addressed in this scripture if you look at the context. And so what he's saying is, if somebody insults me, I have the power to overcome it. Here's what he's saying. He said, if somebody insults me, then I do this. I turn the other cheek. What am I saying when I do that? What I'm saying is I, as a Christian, as a born again, saved by the blood of Christ, I will not allow you to insult me. That's what it's saying. What you're telling people is, I'm not going to give you the power to insult me. I'm not going to give you the ability to assault me. So what I'm going to do is turn the other cheek and say, give me some more. Amen? That's what he's saying. He's referring to the fact of we give the power of temperance. Now, I know this is something we all lack in. Amen? You say, Troy, I don't lack in temperance, really. Let somebody put their hands on you. Let somebody insult you. Let somebody talk about your mom and see what happens. All of a sudden, we forget we're even born again. And we act in a way that's not of God. And so what he's teaching here is don't allow people to control you. Don't allow them to overrule you. You know what the Bible says here? Notice what he says. He gives a law that was given. But then he says, but I say unto you. Now I want you to notice what the Lord just did here. He stepped above the law. He stepped above the judicial system. He stepped above the kings. He stepped above any president that was ever there. He just said, but I say. I know what the law says. I know what the judicial system says. I know what the kings say. But here's what God is saying. Amen. And so he steps above every entity that was ever known. And he said, but I say, if a man does this, this is how you handle it. And so he's dealing not only with this, but he's dealing with freedom. I'm afraid a lot of people forgot when you got saved, you wouldn't put in bondage. You were taken out of bondage. I read a story here a while back of a man who built a daycare system. And he said he had all the money and he built a big system. Said when he got done, he was going to build an actual fence around because they were on a main highway. And he ran out of money. He said every day at recess, he noticed all the kids, they were hanging around the front porch. And none of them wanted to go out. They wouldn't play and they wouldn't act like kids because there was a main freeway and they were scared they were going to get hit. So they never went out and really did anything. Every day at recess, they kind of huddled around each other and they stayed close to the daycare. But he said one day he got enough money and he began to put the fence out. He said the first day I let the kids out, they ran, they played, and they had a freedom they never had before. He said for some reason the fence allowed them to feel free. Amen. Something about the fence that was put up allowed them to feel like they had the freedom to go and do what they wanted to. Let me tell you something. When I got saved, I wasn't put in bondage. Man, I was taken out of bondage. I was freed by the law of God. And I'm glad of that. And so when I got saved, I'm sick of people telling me, well, you don't know what life is. You don't know what it is to live. Man, you don't even know what you're talking about, amen. I've been on both sides of the fence, man. And I'd rather be on the inside and have freedom than be on the outside and worried sick. Amen. So notice the second part. He said, if any man will sue thee at the law, take away him, let him take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Now in the scripture, coat means shirt. It doesn't mean what we're thinking about, coat. And cloak means the outer garment. So he says if somebody sues you, somebody, and I know we're in a suing type world. I mean, it don't matter if you take my cupcake, I'm going to sue you. Amen. That's the way people live. It's amazing. I ain't never in all my life seen a generation that sue happy, man. They just want to sue. But God says, don't let people take, you give. You know what I do when, you know what he's trying to teach us? When a man sues me, I let him know you're not taking from me. You know why? Because I'm giving you it. Amen. I won't allow you to take from me. I tell you what I'm going to do. Not only are you taking my shirt, but I'm going to give you my coat. How many people would be confused if you'd done that? Say they sue you for your car and you say, hey, take my house also. Wait a minute, I'm taking it from you. No, you're not, because I'm giving it, amen? How are you going to take something if I'm giving it to you, amen? You can't take it. I'm not going to give you the power to take it. So God said, take back the God-given power that God has given you, and that is to give back. And you know what amazes me about this particular example? It reminds me so much of when they came and got Jesus. You know what Jesus told them? I taught in the synagogues on a daily basis. You never did come to get me then. How come now you're coming at me with swords and with spears? And he said, you're coming to me like I'm a thief. He said, don't you realize that I'm giving my life? You could have took me in the temple at any time. but you didn't. How come now you're taking me? And he said, I'll tell you why, to fulfill the scripture. He said, you're not going to take my life because I came to give it. Amen. I've spent 33 and a half years on this earth just to give my life. I won't let you take it, but I will give it. You know what I heard? I was reading about a guy in California. He was a judge. They said he was one of the most famous judges ever around at the time. He was known for his harsh judgment. Matter of fact, his nickname was Hanging Bob. Amen. That's what they called him. I thought I wouldn't want to stand before that judge. Amen. And they said he come to a courtroom day, and he came that morning, and he was to face his worst day. He stood before his own son, who he had to judge. His son had DUIs, DWIs, and a lot of offenses. And so they said the whole town of that city showed up to see if this judge would do right. They said, oh, we know Hanging Bob, son. He puts the max on everybody, but what is he going to do when it's his son? As they gave the all the offenses, and the lawyer come up, tried to plead his case. You know what the judge did? They asked, and it came down time for judgment. The judge said this. He said, as a judge, it's my responsibility to uphold the law. And he sentenced his son with the maximum possible penalty. And everybody's jaw hit the floor. And they said, but the next thing that was to be done was unheard of. They said the judge stood and he said, as a judge, I have done my job. And he said, but as a father, I'm going to do the same. They said he laid his robe down and he laid his gavel down. He stepped before the audience and he paid his son's fine. And he said, you're free to go, son. What are you saying? Look, as God, he will judge. As God, he will bring judgment. But I'm glad Jesus on Calvary paid it all, man, and he let us go free. And I'm glad that God set us free and he paid the penalty of sin, and he's given us as Christians the power to overcome the world. Notice the last one. The Bible said, whosoever compelled thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Now, if you don't dig into this, you won't really understand, because most people don't ask you to walk a mile with them, amen? And when they ask me to do any of much walking, I usually turn it down, amen? Because I'm not the walking type fella, amen? I need to do more walking, but I don't like to do it. We was walking the other day, and one of the guys said, I said, this is awful, man. This is horrible. We walk forever. And he said, it's good for you. I said, it don't feel good, amen? I don't know what you're talking about, but my body's telling me there ain't nothing good about this. And so we never really had that. But back in this time, did you know a Roman soldier could ask you to carry anything of his up to a mile? It's very unusual. I wondered why the Lord said this. But a Roman soldier had the ability to get you to carry all his baggage up to 1 mile. He could get anybody out of any crowd and say, carry my stuff. Now, wait a minute. Does that not seem not fair? You didn't sign up for the army. You didn't want to go to war. That's not what you did, but he could make you do it. So here's what the Lord's teaching. If somebody asks you to go a mile, take her two. In other words, when you get to the end and the Roman soldier says, give me my stuff, you say, I ain't done. What do you mean? What you're telling that soldier is you're not going to have power over me. You think you're making me walk a mile, but if I walk two, you're going to know God has power over me. I do what I want to do, and I've chosen to walk 2 miles because I love you. Let me tell you something. What the Lord's trying to teach us is love. He's trying to teach us here that we have liberty to not let people have power over us. Now, I'm not saying you're not subjective to things, but what I'm saying is God will always come first in your life. He should always be that. When I'm at school, or maybe when I'm at work, and I have people that we work with, and they say do this, they say do that, and the other day we was working, and I knew a tournament was coming up, and I just did a little bit extra. And the boss come down, and they said, what are you doing? I said, well, I don't know if you know it or not, but we got people coming here, amen? I said, I want this place to look nice. And he said, well, I didn't ask you to do that. I said, no, you didn't. I chose to do it. And so I stepped above and beyond what I was asked to do. And what Jesus is teaching is, when somebody asks you this, you need to take the power God's given you and show the world that you are owned by one man. You know, have you ever read the story in the 1936 Olympics? And I'll come to a close. 1936 Olympics, we went to Berlin. We were told as we were heading to Berlin that, look, you're probably going to get asked to dip the flag when you walk in front of Adolf Hitler. And when we go to other countries, the teaching was we were to dip our flag in front of any leadership or in front of another country. The athlete that held that flag that day had some convictions. And in Berlin in 1936, they said, you're going to be asked to dip it. He never said a word. As he stood and he walked by Adolf Hitler, every nation and every country dipped their flag in front of Berlin but one. You know what country that was? That was America. You know why we didn't dip our flag? Because the man in the interview said, why did you not dip it? He said, I will never dip my flag to any man on this earth. He said, but I'll only dip it to God in heaven. And do you know that's been ever since that time? We've never dipped a flag since then. Even in 2012, they wondered if we would dip it again. It had been so many years since 1936, and the athlete that held the flag that day refused to dip her also. I thought, how many years later, we know we're freed by God. It's a liberation thing. It's a thing that God has given us liberty to be a Christian. I wonder, as they stand and bring a verse of song, are you willing to take back the power which God gave you? What's happened is Christians have allowed the world to take our power that God has given us. We've allowed them to take our power of freedom, our power of liberation, our power to love, our power to have joy, our power to have peace, our power to have long-suffering. We have allowed the world to take this away. But are you going to stand and say, look, today I'm taking back my power. I'm taking back what God gave me when he gave us the fruit of the Spirit. Let me tell you something. As the brother said this morning, we ought to be so salty that it's taking people to the water. There ought to be something about us that draws people. Let me tell you something. If you act like the world, then you'll be just like one of them. Nobody will want what you got. You can talk it all day long. You can tell everybody what you are, what you do, how you respond, but your life will prove out who you really are. But I wonder, are you going to be willing to take back this power? God's given it to us. You say, I don't have a problem. I don't have any of these problems. Well, you must not be breathing then. Amen? Because I don't know of a human being in this world that don't have a problem with temperance. I don't know of a human being that has a problem with not being long-suffering and being patient and being humble and meekful towards people. I wonder, as they stand, where do you stand between you and the Lord?